Hello, I'm author Carnigaldin. Welcome to the next instalment of Wolf of the Plains.
Yesuge rode in silence as the sun rose ahead of them. Hoelun's people were close. It would be a journey of only a few days with his son. By the end of it, he would know whether the boy had it in him to rule the tribe. He had known with Bechter after the first day. His oldest boy was no wild flame, but the tribe needed a steady hand, and Bechter was growing into a fine man. Yesuge frowned as he rode. Some part of his mind scanned the land around them for a sight of an enemy or an animal. He could never become lost while every hill was sharp in his mind, and every clipped goat ear showed him the local tribes, like a pattern stretching over the land. He had enjoyed the ride with Bechter, though he had taken pains not to show it. It was hard to know how a boy became a leader of men, but Yesuge was certain it was not through being spoiled. Yesuge shifted in the saddle, unable to maintain his usual drifting thoughts while Temujin rode at his side. Bechter had been a peaceful companion, but something about Temujin's silence chafed on his father. It did not help that the route to the Ulkunut took them near the Red Hill. Yesuge felt Temujin's eyes on him as he looked at the sharp slopes. He grunted in exasperation.
You were lucky to reach the nest.
It was not luck, Temujin replied. Yesuge cursed inwardly. The boy was as prickly as a thorn bush.
You were lucky not to fall, boy.
Temujin said nothing. Yesuge shook his head.
It was a fine climb, I heard. Katsuyun said you were nearly torn off the rock by the eagle coming back to the nest.
Temujin softened slightly, shrugging. He was absurdly pleased that his father had shown an interest, though his cold face hid it all. He forced it down with a stone, he replied, giving measured praise with care. Katsuyun was his favourite brother, but he had learned the good sense of hiding likes and dislikes, almost an instinct by the end of his 12th year. Did your father take you to the Ulkunut? He asked.
Yesuge snorted. No. I found your mother with two of her brothers when I was out riding. I saw she was beautiful and strong.
He sighed and smacked his lips, his eyes gazing into the past. She rode the sweetest little mare, the colour of storm water at dawn. Her legs were bare and very brown. Temujin had not heard the story before and rode a little closer. You raided her from the Ulkunut, he said.
I chased her brothers away like a couple of young goats, Yesuge said. I was hardly old enough to be out on my own, but I waved my sword and yelled at them.
Caught up in the memory, he put his head back and gave out a ululating whoop, ending in laughter.
You should have seen their faces. One of them tried to attack me, but I was the son of a Khan, Temujin, not some little dog to be cowed. I put an arrow through his hip and ran him off.
He sighed to himself.
Those were very good days. I thought I would never feel the cold in my bones back then.
He looked at his son, and his expression contained a regret Temujin could only guess at.
There was a time, boy, when I would have climbed for the red bird myself.
If I'd known, I would have come back and told you. Yesuge shook his head, chuckling.
Not now. I'm too heavy to be dancing around on tiny ledges. I would crash to earth like a falling star. What is the point in having sons if they cannot grow strong and test their courage? That is one truth I remember from my father. Courage cannot be left like bones in a bag. It must be brought out and shown the light again and again, growing stronger each time. If you think it will keep for the times you need it, you're wrong. It is like any other part of your strength. If you ignore it, the bag will be empty when you need it most. No. You were right to climb for the nest, and I was right to give the red bird to Iluk. There was no hiding the sudden stiffness that came into Temujin's bearing. Yesuge growled his frustration. He is my first warrior, and deadly, boy, you should believe it. I would rather have Iluk at my side than any five of the tribe. His children will not rule the families. His sword will never be as good as mine. Do you understand?
You had to give him something, Temujin snapped. Is that what you mean?
No. It was not a debt. I honored him with the red bird because he is my first warrior, because he has been my friend since we were boys together, and he has never complained that his family were beneath mine amongst the wolves. Temujin opened his mouth to snap a reply, but instead, he practiced the discipline that gave him the cold face and showed the world nothing. It was his only real defense against his father's searching gaze. Yesuge saw through it and snorted. Boy, I was showing the cold face when you were the Sky Father's dream. As they made camp that night by a stream, Temujin set about the chores that would sustain them the following day. He broke chunks of hard cheese from a heavy block, passing the pieces into leather bags half filled with water. The wet mixture would sit under their saddles, churned and heated by the pony's skin. By noon, he and his father would have a warm drink of soft curds, bitter and refreshing. Once that task was done, Temujin set about finding sheep droppings, pulling them apart to see if they were dry enough to burn cleanly. He drew a stick of flint across an old knife to light strands of them, building a fire. Yesuge cut pieces of dried mutton and some wild onions with sheep fat, the delicious smell making their mouths water. Hoelun had given them bread that would soon be hard, so they broke the flat loaves and soaked them in the stew. They sat across from each other to eat, sucking the meat juices from their fingers between mouthfuls. "Tell me about the Olkunut," Temujin said. His father's mouth curled in an unconscious sneer. "They are not strong, though there are many of them, like ants. I sometimes think I could ride in there and kill all day before they brought me down." "They don't have warriors," Temujin said, incredulously. "Not like Iluk. You'll see. They use the bow rather than the sword, and they stand far off from their enemy, never coming close unless they have to. If you ride in amongst them, they scatter like children." "How will I learn to use a sword then?" Temujin demanded. He had forgotten his father's reaction to that tone, and barely avoided the hand that came to smack humility into him. "You'll have to practice on your own, boy. Bector had to. He said they didn't let him touch a bow or one of their knives till the day he left. Cowards, all of them. Still, their women are very fine." Yesuge's sharp eyes spotted the Olkunut scouts at the moment they saw him. The deep notes of their horns carried back to the tribes, rousing the warriors to defend their herds and women. "You will not speak unless they speak to you," Yesuge warned his son. "Show them the cold face, no matter what happens, understand?" Temujin swallowed nervously. In the far distance, he saw dust rise as young warriors leapt onto their ponies. Yesuge's mouth became a thin, hard line, and he sat tall in his saddle. Temujin copied him, watching the dust cloud grow as dozens of warriors came swarming out. "Do not turn, Temujin," Yesuge snapped. "They are boys playing games, and you will shame me if you give honor to them." "I understand," Temujin replied. "But if you sit like a stone, they will know you are aware of them. Would it not be better to talk to me, to laugh?" He felt Yesuge's glare and knew a moment of fear. Yesuge was preparing himself for enemies, his instincts taking over his muscles and reactions. As Temujin returned the stare, he saw his father summon an effort of will and visibly relax himself. The galloping Olkunut did not seem so close, and the day had grown a little brighter somehow. "I will look a fool if they sweep us off the ponies in pieces," Yesuge said, forcing a stiff grin that would not have been out of place on a corpse. Temujin laughed in genuine amusement. "Are you in pain? Try throwing your head back as you do it." His father did as Temujin suggested, and his effort reduced them both to helpless laughter. Yesuge was red-faced and wiping tears from his eyes as the yelling warriors skidded to a halt, blocking the strangers. The drifting cloud of dust arrived with them. The milling group of warriors fell silent as Temujin and Yesuge mastered themselves and appeared to notice the Olkunut for the first time. Temujin kept his face blank, though he could barely hide his curiosity. Everything was subtly different. Their horses were superb, and the warriors wore light deals of grey with gold thread markings over trousers of dark brown. They were somehow cleaner and neater looking than his own people,
and Temujin felt a vague resentment start in him. His gaze fell on one who must surely have been the leader. The other riders deferred to him as he approached. The young warrior was almost a man grown. He had two bows strapped to his saddle with a good throwing axe. Temujin could see no swords, but they all carried the small axes. His examination of the Olkonut was being returned. One of the men nudged his pony close to Yesuge. A grimy hand stretched out to finger the cloth of his deal. Temujin barely saw his father move, but the Olkonut rider yelped and pulled back before he could lay a finger on Yesuge. His pain turned to anger in an instant. "You take a great risk riding here without your bondsman, Khan of the Wolves," the young man said. "Have you brought us another of your sons for the Olkonut to teach him his manhood?" Yesuge turned to Temujin. "This is my son, Temujin. Temujin, this is your cousin, Koke. His father is the man I shot in the hip on the day I met your mother." "And he still limps," Koke agreed. His pony seemed to move without a signal, and he came in range to clap Yesuge on the shoulder. The older man allowed the action, and the warriors relaxed as Koke moved away. He had shown he was not afraid of the Khan, and Yesuge had accepted that he did not rule where the Olkonut pitched their gares. "You must be hungry. Will you eat with us?" "We will," Yesuge answered. From that moment they were protected by guest rights, and Yesuge lost the stiffness that suggested he'd rather be holding a sword. The horses of the Olkonut were held in great corrals outside the gathering of gares, too many for Temujin to count. With cattle, goats, and sheep on every nearby hill, he could see the Olkonut were prosperous and strong in numbers. His cousin Koke jumped down from his pony and led the two wolves through the midst of his people. Yesuge grunted in displeasure at being forced to walk behind the young man. The Khan walked even slower in response, pausing to inspect decorative knotwork on a gear. With a frown, Koke was forced to wait for his guests. Temujin might have applauded the subtle way his father had turned the little game of status to his advantage. Instead of hurrying along after the younger man, they had made the trip a tour of the Olkonut. By the time they stopped outside a gare with a bright blue door, Koke was irritated with them both.
"Is your father well?" Yesuge said.
The young warrior was forced to pause as he ducked into the gare. "He is as strong as ever," Koke replied.
Yesuge nodded. "Tell him I am here," he said, looking blandly at his nephew.
Koke coloured before disappearing into the darkness.
"Observe the courtesies when we go in," Yesuge murmured. "They will notice every fault and rejoice in it."
"I understand," Temujin replied. "How old is my cousin Koke?"
13 or 14, Yesuge replied.
Temujin looked up with interest.
"So he is alive only because you shot his father in the hip and not the heart?"
Yesuge shrugged. "I shot to kill, but I had only an instant to loose the shaft before your mother's other brother threw an axe at me."
"Is he here as well?"
Temujin asked, looking round.
Yesuge chuckled. "Not unless he managed to put his head back on."
Temujin fell silent as he considered this. The Olkonut had no reason to love his father, and many to hate him. Yet he sent his sons to them for wives.
"Why has he not come out?"
he murmured to his father.
Yesuge grunted, breaking off from staring at some young Olkonut women milking goats. "He makes us wait because he thinks I will be insulted. The man is an idiot, but all dogs bark at a wolf."
"Why do you visit him first, then?" Temujin said, dropping his voice even lower.
"The blood tie brings me safe amongst them. It galls them to welcome me, but they give your mother honor by doing it. I play my part, and my sons have wives."
"Will you see their Khan?" Temujin asked.
Yesuge shook his head.
"If Sansar sees me, he will be forced to offer his tents and women for as long as I am here. He would have gone hunting as I would if he came to the wolves."
"You like him," Temujin said,
watching his father's face closely.
"The man has honor enough not to pretend he is a friend when he is not. I respect him."
The inside of the gare was gloomy and thick with the smell of mutton and sweat. It had carved wooden beds and chairs, with a small stove in the middle.
Kokei stood with his head respectfully bowed. But another man rose as Yesuge came to greet him, standing a head shorter than the Khan of the Wolves. "I have brought another son to you, Enk," Yesuge said formally. "The Olkunut are friends to the Wolves, and do us great honor with strong wives." Temujin watched his uncle in fascination. Enk was a thin spear of a man, with just one thick lock of grey hair hanging from his scalp between his eyes. Even in the dark glare, his skin shone with grease. The glance he gave Temujin was not welcoming, though he gripped Yesuge's hand in greeting, and his wife prepared salted tea to refresh them. "Is my sister well?" Enk said, as the silence swelled around them. "She has given me a daughter," Yesuge replied. "Perhaps you will send an Olkunut son to me one day." Enk nodded, though the idea did not seem to please him. Remembering what his father had said, Temujin took the bowl of tea he was offered in his right hand, his left cupping his right elbow in the traditional style. No one could have faltered his manners in front of the Olkunut. They settled themselves and drank in silence. Temujin began to relax. "Why has your son not greeted me?" Enk asked Yesuge slyly. Temujin stiffened as his father frowned. He put aside the bowl and rose once more. "I am honored to meet you, uncle. I am Temujin, second son to the Khan of Wolves. My mother sends you her greetings. Are you well?"
"I am, boy," Enk replied, "though I see you have yet to learn the courtesies of our people."
Yesuge cleared his throat softly, and Enk closed his mouth over whatever he had been going to add. Temujin did not miss the flash of irritation in the older man's eyes. "How is your hip?" Yesuge murmured. Enk's thin mouth tightened as he forced a smile.
"I never think of it," he replied.
Temujin noticed that he moved stiffly and felt a private pleasure. He did not have to like these strange people. He understood that this too was a test, like everything else Yesuge set his sons. He would endure.
"Is there a wife for him in the Gears?" Yesuge asked.
Enk grimaced. "There is one family who have not been able to find a match for their daughter. They will be pleased to have her eating someone else's meat and milk."
Yesuge nodded. "I will see her before I leave you. She must be strong and able to bear children for the Wolves. Who knows? One day she could be mother to the tribe."
Enk nodded, sipping at the salty liquid as if in deep concentration. "I will bring her to you," Enk said. But Yesuge shook his head.
"Good blood comes from a good line, Enk. I will see her parents before I leave."
The Olkunut seemed burdened with an insatiable curiosity. As Enk led the visitors through the clustered gears to the edges of the encampment, dozens of chattering Olkunut followed them, unashamed in their interest. A thunder of hooves sounded behind them, and Temujin was tempted to look back. He saw his father glance, and knew that if there was a threat, Khan would have drawn his sword. Yet Yesuge only smiled. Temujin listened to the hoofbeats getting closer and closer, until the ground trembled. At the last moment, Yesuge reached up in a blur to snatch a rider. The horse galloped on wildly. Temujin spun round to see his father lowering a child to the ground, as if the weight was nothing. It might have been a girl, but it was not easy to be sure. The hair was cut short, and the face almost black with dirt. She struggled in Yesuge's arms as he put her down, spitting and wailing. He laughed and turned to Enk with raised eyebrows.
"The Olkunut grow them wild, I see."
Enk's face was twisted with amusement as the grubby little girl ran away screeching.
"Let us continue to her father," he said, flashing a glance at Temujin before he limped away.
Temujin stared after the running figure. "Is she the one?"
No one answered him.